It's already 85 degrees in the morning, and a circle of young people have gathered at the trailhead of the Blue Blazers Trail at Moccasin Bend. They are stretching and discussing safety concerns and talking about an exercise and how to escape a room full of piranha. These are the teens, ages 16 to 18, that are working with the National Park Service through the Southeast Conservation Corps. Each of these young people had new experiences. Addison Whitaker battled plants.
Privet, definitely privet. There's gobs and gobs of it, and there aren't really nice corridors to walk through, so we've been really lopping them with loppers, trying to clear it out.
Marcellus hadn't gained engineering skills. What have you done during this summer that you've never done before?
We built a walking bridge and some check steps to make it safer through the trail.
Yeah. What did you learn in the process, or did you already know how to build that bridge?
Oh, I've never built a bridge a day in my life, so the whole measuring, cutting, notching, figuring out where to strategically place everything was all that was new to me.
Keith Dawson explored the great outdoors. Why did you get involved?
Well, I wanted to work with the Park Service this summer, and I was looking on the Park Service website, and I found this, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity.
Have you worked with trails in the past?
A little bit, but not quite as extensive as this. Like, I've done a little bit at the house, but nothing nearly as, like, extensive and in-depth as this.
Have you run into portions of the trail that you just couldn't tell where the trail was?
Yes, especially in the field over there. Like, the trail wasn't really clear, so we've kind of cleared it out a little bit where you can kind of see where the trail leads to.
For Jamonte Wickley, it was discovering a new environment. Have you ever gone into a dense woods like this before?
No, about my first time.
What was the most surprising thing you found out about going into the forest?
Well, surprising thing that we got, like, a lot of mental issue people over there, so, and that it probably won't be so easy working around here with them.
Would you come back to this trail once you finished it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Erin Grace Walden broadened her knowledge.
I've been really interested in studying climate change for like the past couple of years, and like I really wanted to see what climate change was doing to the forest around here, around where I live, and because mostly I've studied like the oceans and stuff so far, and I really wanted to see what it was doing to like just different forests and whatnot.
So you were already an outdoorsy type before this began.
Well, kind of. I wouldn't really say that.
Have you found something on the trail that you never thought you'd see?
Probably the swamp. I've never seen a swamp before. In person, I've never seen a swamp before, and seeing the swamp was really cool.
Michael Meredith is one of the leaders bringing his skills to help build the trail.
Well, I've been building trails for about 4 years out west, and I noticed there was a void with trail construction here in the southeast in terms of taking care of our public land in the southeastern United States. And the Southeast Conservation Corps have been present in Chattanooga for about 3 years now. So whenever I heard about them, I just came over, decided it was time to help out the place I was from. So.
Angie Lankren found working trails in the south to be a different kind of challenge.
Well, I had also done trail work out west. I worked for Rocky Mountain Youth Corps in Steamboat Springs, Colorado for 4 seasons. I was a trail crew leader for them. I moved back to Chattanooga and also got my master's in Boone, North Carolina, doing cliff ecology. And when I came back, I wanted to do something outside for the summer. And I had met Brenna at a trail building at Lula Lake 2 years ago before I left to get my master's, and I thought it would be really cool to do some trail work back east, and I had done so much out west, so I jumped right in.
Trail work in this forest means a little bit more than just moving stuff out of the way. What are some of your challenges?
Definitely the heat. After working on big mountains in Colorado, one of your big challenges is the cold. And here I've had to deal with the heat, so that's been different. Building some of the structures we've built. Those are always challenging to build. We built a bridge in a very boggy area, and so that was really fun, dealing with the mud, getting dirty.
These young people are working under the direction of the National Park Service.
You probably went down far enough where you could see where they...
No, I haven't gone down there.
You might want to, you know, you don't have to walk on the trail, but you can see the improvement just in that section. It's amazing. And all of it's been by hand.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
I know.
Let them do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's great.
Especially since you got some seasoned people here who've done it before.
Oh, yeah, those guys, the leads are awesome. They're what make this a good program, in my opinion.
So go ahead and say your name for me.
My name is Kim Coons.
And you're with the Park Service.
That's correct. I'm the Chief of Interpretation and Resource Education. So this program kind of came out of my division. So it's a real good partnership with the Southeast Conservation Corps, Urban Archaeology Corps, and the Park Service. So it's kind of a three-way partnership that's been beneficial to all three partners. Really, the lead has to be, I'd say, the Southeast Conservation Corps. Brenna Kelly really was the driving force. When we met with her, we thought, this is going to be great. And it's everything we thought it was going to be, even more. They've done a heck of a job here at Moccasin Bend. This trail, believe it or not, is what originated the site. It was set aside first, and now we're coming back to our roots and making it much more accessible to people, and they have done a heck of a job.
When this land was turned over to the Park Service, it was a pretty big boon because Park Services just don't grow like that in this day and age as much. What was it like when you first got it?
Well, the only thing really that was improved, I would say, would be this trail. That was all that really was here. So it was a lot of green space with a lot of development, too, because you've got pockets of development with the mental health institution. You also have the wastewater treatment plant. So it's an interesting piece of property to manage, but over time, we've begun to put more interpretive exhibits because it has such a big piece of Indian history. And that is what we're trying to pull out. And one of the things that we're most proud of that we've done the most work on is the Browns Ferry Federal Road property, which we dedicated a couple years ago, where we actually have a trail that goes to the river and it's part of the original Trail of Tears removal. So it started as a wild piece of green space, and it's still quite a bit of that, but we're beginning to improve upon it as we learn more about the history of the site. We want the public to be able to see the history of that site.
There's archaeological digs going on. There's studies of all different types. How do you manage all these diverse groups?
Good question. With archaeology, we aren't doing any below-ground things. Everything is above ground. Luckily, with the advancement of technology, you have ground-penetrating radar, and you can see a lot from that. So we have, just to find areas that we know are part of the history, we've got to do some archaeology, and that's how we're doing it. We also partner with the Southeast Archaeological Center in Tallahassee, Florida, who comes out and does work with us. In fact, they work with these kids and did an education program about archaeology, and they actually went up to the earthworks, which is part of, you know, the Civil War history, which is part of this site, which is just a little bit to the, I guess, the north of us right now, where we're standing.
I think I'm going to walk a little. You want to walk with me?
Sure.
And describe stuff?
These kids have been great. I think they're bonding really well together. Just to see them from week to week, they seem to, you know, they're toward the end of it. They really know each other pretty well, I'd say.
The trail is a little bit wider than I expected it to be.
Well, it wasn't like this when they first came out here. This is known as the Blue Blazes Trail on Moccasin Bend. It was much more constrained, and part of their job when they do trail work, first thing they want to do is widen it to the standards of a trail that, you know, several people can walk alongside. Before, you could only have like one person on this trail because it was so grown in. Ironically, while they were working, you know, weather happens, things happen, they came in one day and the whole front part that we're walking on right here was covered by a tree that had just fallen on a bridge they had built. The bridge was intact. So they had to remove the tree, and I think they've had a lot of that happen while they've been out here. Trees fall while they go in. They come out, and there's one down. They got to clear it out. It's somewhat trial and error, and, you know, you're out there, and, okay, we got to do this today. And I think that's probably what makes it interesting to them. They think they're going to do one thing, and they end up doing something else.
Well, we're looking at a trail maybe, what, about 5 feet wide.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And the canopy of the forest is still over our heads. They literally had to tunnel through some of this greenery.
That's correct. It's very dark. I mean, we're here, it's the sun's out. You can't tell that the sun's out. It's so dark right in this area. Some areas will open up even more, but one thing that happens in our park is we just have tons of non-native plants. Privet is one of them, so that's a battle we fight all the time. If you mentioned the word privet to these kids, they'd probably laugh because that's what they see all the time.
It looks like there's some bicycle tire marks here and a little bit of mud. So this has been in use, and obviously signs of horses perhaps that have been through here. Is this trail open to just about anyone?
On foot. Anyone on foot. Not really the bicyclists or the horseback riders. So, you know, we want people to come out here, but only via foot traffic. What we're looking at is a bridge that the kids have built with steps up and out. Before, it was more like a log that you just kind of went across, and it wasn't very sturdy, and now you've got, you know, a way to get up, a way to get over. It's a much safer trail than it was before. And really, that's what we want. We want to make sure when people are out here, they feel safe.
So we're looking at kind of a creek bed, a small gully, and the hills on each side. You're talking about coming up maybe 15 feet on this side?
One of the things we had to really think about when we were working with this trail was the archaeological sensitivity. Because one thought was we could do a switchback, but we didn't want to dig in the ground because of the sensitivity. So they did what they could on the existing trail that had already had archaeological testing on it.
I imagine before those steps were put in, that was a very slippery slope.
Oh, you better believe it. Whenever it rained, you just had pure mud going straight down. So odds are if you're with a group of four, one of them would probably not get all the way up without sliding back down.
Now, the bridge they've made looks like some very thick logs, first of all, on each side of that gully,
mm-hmm.
holding kind of anchored in place.
Right.
And then, again, very thick trunks, like tree trunks.
Oh, yeah.
That are going across. How long will this bridge survive?
Probably quite a long time. As I mentioned to you earlier, a tree fell on top of it. All they did was move it. It was still intact. Probably 20, 30 years, I would say. A long time. They did all that by hand, too. I mean, the log didn't come like that. They actually had to hand hewn it to get it flat like that. It's amazing to me what these guys can do with just hand tools. It's incredible. Once you go further in the trail, you'll see even more work that they've done because they've done little bridges in some of the swampy areas that they all did by hand, and they had to haul it all in by hand as well. It wasn't like a truck drove it over there. They had to do it all themselves.
Hey, good job. That's awesome from the day I was here.
Oh, yeah, it's come along.
It is. You guys have done an awesome job.
We've got like one support feature to put in on the bridge just to ensure a little longer lasting on that pine stringer. It's a little lighter weight wood, so it's just trying to get more out of the life of it, if that makes sense.
I'm thinking I might actually make the walk all the way in on your last day.
That'd be exciting.
I don't know if I can get up that hill, but I'll try it, man.
Well, we're putting two more steps in today.
Well, one of you guys can carry me.
Make it a little more safe.
All right.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the interview.
Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Well, have a good day, guys.
Yeah.
Be careful out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll have any visitors today besides this.
Yeah.
You might actually get some work done.
Yeah.
When you visit the trails at Moccasin Bend, you will really appreciate all the work these young people and the Southeast Conservation Corps put into giving you a great experience at your national park. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.